was given is his resurrection and exaltation. When I was given this topic, I thought about it and I thought, what a benefit. This is something, it's an incentive. It's something that if we're found faithful, we can look forward to. I'd like you to turn your Bibles and hold your spots to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Or rather, let's change that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Hold that. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. And I want us to notice what the resurrection and exaltation has done for us. We know from the Bible the condition of the world. The Bible lets us know that all have sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. That's in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Because of man breaking the law that they were under in the past, the Mosaic law, the patriarchal law, all have sinned. And so, as we know in Romans chapter 1, the Gentiles broke the law that they were under. Romans chapter 2, the Jews broke the law that they were under. In Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. The entire world had sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because what? All have sinned. So death, the separation from God, spread to all men. Notice the condition, the position that the entire world was in. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. So the payment of sin is death. It's being separated from God. I like Isaiah when he said it, but your sins have separated you from your God. So there's a separation because of sin. The entire world was in sin. Now Satan, who I'm sure was excited about that, was in a position where he could boast about that because all was trapped in sin. And so because of that, Jesus comes on the scene, and because, as we know, he is the remedy for the sin. He's coming through his resurrection and exaltation to solve the problem. And as we look at the Bible, there are many passages we find out that Satan, behind the scenes, was doing whatever he could to stop the resurrection and exaltation. Stop Jesus from dying for our sins. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, Herod tried to kill him. He killed all those babies 2 years old. He tried to kill them. That was going after Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28 and 30 through 30, they tried to throw him off a cliff. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, Satan himself took on Jesus Christ. And so there were many things that Satan tried to do to stop Jesus from resurrecting and exaltation. And we know on the cross that pain and suffering, the agony that Jesus took upon himself. Satan tried his best through his works to force Jesus to come down off the cross. Because remember, everyone was trapped in sin. Now remember that if Jesus did not do what he did, then we would not be in the position that we're in today. There was no way out. There's no way to make it to heaven. All have sinned. The penalty of sin is death. So all deserve to die. So without Jesus, there is no way out. Now I want you to see the benefit of the resurrection and exaltation. And as we know, those who study the book, we know that Jesus overcame the tactics and received his resurrection and exaltation. But before he did that, he substantiated that he has the power to resurrect and exalt. He ascended, but he also resurrected. Now, as we look at Luke chapter, stay with me now. We look at Luke chapter 8, verse 49 through 50. There was a young girl who he resurrected from the dead. And now watch this. When I look at that passage, it seemed like she was only dead for a short period of time. Notice the power of Jesus Christ. And then I look at Luke chapter 4, verse 28, or rather, John chapter 11, verse 38 through 44. And Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And when Jesus arrived, they said he had been dead 4 days, and there's a stench. He stinks. He smells. He had been dead 4 days. So we have a girl that was dead for a short period of time. And then we have a Lazarus who had been dead 4 days. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he resurrects him from the dead. Now notice Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Now watch this. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. In other words, they had died, they had passed away. The Bible says, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now notice verse 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. But notice this. We have a young girl, a girl who had been dead for a short period of time. We have Lazarus who had been dead for 4 days. And then when he dies, we have many, the Bible says, many came out of the grave, coming out of the grave after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, I don't know how long they have been dead. They could have been dead for 5 years, 10 years, a year, 6 months. But the point is that Jesus has a power to resurrect. You have a short period of time. You have 4 days. And then you have all these bodies coming out of the grave, and they're going to Jerusalem that's power. He has proven without a shadow of a doubt that he has a power to resurrect. But the greatest resurrection of all is Jesus Christ himself. He resurrected. But if you notice this, when those people resurrected from the dead, when that soul went back into the body and it was risen from the grave, that is far as they went. You see, they were risen from the dead, but that was it. They were risen, they lived for a time, and they died. But Jesus, when he resurrected, he died. He went to paradise. His spirit went back inside his body. He resurrected. And when he did that, but after that, he's with those for 40 days, and then he ascended back to the Father. That's powerful. And if we cannot see that as Christians, something's wrong. Our master, the head of the church, left heaven, came down here to sacrifice himself for our sins. He has proven that he has a power to resurrect. He has a power to ascend to be exalted. He has proven that. That's an incentive for me. That's an incentive for you. At the end of time, I can resurrect. I can be exalted. That's an incentive. He proved it. I mean, really, what more can he do? What more can we ask for? He did it. He did it. But notice something. How does that resurrection and exaltation benefit us? You know, we must understand that only the faithful will resurrect and be exalted to be with Christ. I want to say that again. Only the faithful. It doesn't matter if I'm a member of the church. If I'm not faithful, then it's not going to happen. Now watch what I'm talking about. Notice what the Bible says in Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, I believe that all mankind will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 52. But there's a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. There's a difference. I believe that everyone will take on a resurrection. The good and the evil, the just and the unjust will be resurrected. But there's a difference between the non-Christian and the Christian. Now I want you to stay with me and follow me if you have your Bibles. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 through 10. Notice this. The Bible says, And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So they obeyed the gospel, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So the Thessalonians obeyed the gospel. They did what they had to do to be saved. They heard the gospel. They repented. It's obvious right here. They confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that they were baptized for the remission of sins. Now watch this. When they were baptized for the remission of sins in 2 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse, notice this, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. And so when they were baptized, they were added to the kingdom, the church. So these are people who are added to the church of our Lord. These are people who did what they were supposed to do to be saved, and they were added to the kingdom. But notice what else he says about them. In chapter 4, notice this, chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. These are people that are in the kingdom. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Listen, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and thus shall we ever be, always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see that? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead, what? And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see that? There's a resurrection and exaltation. But he said, we, the saints, he's talking to them, those who are baptized and added to church. The exaltation, the resurrection, to be with Christ for eternity is for those who are in the kingdom. And that's true. In 1 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 8, Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Notice the example from the Corinthians. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. The Bible says, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And so the Corinthians did what they were supposed to do to be saved. And of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, they were added to the church. Notice what the Bible says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But notice this. In other words, it implies that they are in the kingdom. When they were baptized, they were added to the kingdom. So in other words, don't lose what you have. You're in the kingdom. Do you realize that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? So don't lose it. Stay with it. Stay in there. So they're in the kingdom. They're in the kingdom. They're in the church. They were baptized and they were added to the church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice that, listen to this. I want you to listen to this. These are people that are in the kingdom. These are people that are in the church. Notice what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24 says. Then cometh the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. See, there's a difference. When we're in the church and faithful in the Lord's church, there's a resurrection and an exaltation that we can look forward to. This is what we're talking about was their incentive. This is my incentive. This is your incentive. I mean, if I'm faithful to God, I can resurrect, but not only resurrect, remember, everyone, the entire world is going to resurrect. There's going to be a resurrection. But I have the opportunity to resurrect from the dead and be with Christ forever. Jezebel will resurrect. Pharaoh will resurrect from the dead. They will take on the body. But see, the difference is that if they weren't faithful to God, they can care less about God. When they resurrect, they will take what God has given them and they will spend eternity in hell. That's forever. That's an incentive for me to be faithful to God, to do what's right. That's an incentive. Notice something. Notice the book of Hebrews. I want to show you something. And hold your position in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, because we're going there, and then we're going to go back into the book of Hebrews. But Matthew chapter 27, I want you to hold that if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 27, in verse 50. As we know, in the book of Hebrews, deals with the old law, the old tabernacle, Christ. It's a better high priest. We have a better covenant. We have a better tabernacle. Everything is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. Notice something about the book of Hebrews that is very, very interesting. In Hebrews chapter 9, notice this. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 1, the Bible says, then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For the tabernacle was prepared, the first part of which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, notice the veil, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod and budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. But notice the veil. The veil was that huge curtain that separated the holy from the holiest holies. Notice the veil. Understand, the veil was a separation. Notice chapter 6, or rather verse 6 to 8. Watch this. Verses 6 to 8. The Bible says, now when these things had thus prepared, the priest always went in to the first part. See that? The priest went in to the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. They can go in there daily. But the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holies of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. But notice the second part. The priest was the only one allowed to go in once a year. No one else could go behind the veil. If you did, you would die, because that was where the presence of God was. Have you read the Old Testament? You cannot go there. Stay out. You cannot go behind the veil. Now notice this. Now turn to Matthew chapter 27. I told you to hold your spot and I think I lost it. Matthew chapter 27. Notice this. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Notice that veil. Notice what the Bible says. Now remember, the veil separated the holy from the holy of holies. No one was allowed behind the veil except for the high priest, and that was once a year. But notice this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Notice this. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. But notice, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And so that huge veil, when Christ died, it was torn from top to bottom. Why was that? Why would the veil be torn from top to bottom? In other words, the Bible is saying now heaven is wide open. You see, now it's time to come in. See, at first it was closed. You cannot go in there. You cannot. You just better, if you go through there, if you go in there, you will die. The high priest was allowed to go in there once a year. But when Christ died, that veil was torn from top to bottom. Why? Because heaven is now open. You see, now notice what Hebrews chapter 9, here we go. Notice what Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 says. Let's prove this. So Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50 and following, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Heaven is now open. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, notice what the Bible says. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with his own blood of goats, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal damnation. You see that? He entered with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And so Christ, Christ entered heaven itself. And so in other words, when that veil was rent from top to bottom and Christ entered the Holy of Holies, it was heaven. In other words, heaven is wide open. That's interesting. When you look at the connection, it's interesting. Heaven is wide open. There's no more separation. There's a reconciliation. It is wide open. Now watch this. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. Notice that. Therefore, brethren, as a result of what I just said, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus went in. In the past, no one was allowed to go back there. Now the fact that he went in is saying, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, I have an opportunity to go behind the veil because heaven is wide open. If that's not an incentive, I don't know what is. Sometimes I can't comprehend why saints of our Lord Jesus Christ walk around with their head down. Like there's no hope. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm suffering. It doesn't matter what my financial position is. It doesn't matter. Because you see, that doesn't matter when I think about the exaltation and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that I can follow him behind the veil. It doesn't matter. And I think the reason why we mope and we whine over childish things is because we don't see the whole picture. We're going to die, and everyone's going to be resurrected. But if I'm faithful, I can be exalted. I can ascend. I can be with Jesus Christ forever. That's why the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. It just doesn't matter. I know that Moses is glad that he gave up all that in Egypt. Because Moses is in paradise, and he will be exalted. He will be with Christ for eternity. I know that those prophets who stay faithful until the end, they're excited about it. And we have the information. We have the word. I mean, we should be at worship every Sunday. We should be excited about studying God's word. I mean, this is a great feeling. Notice, and we did not do anything for it. There's nothing we've done for this. God just loved us. The Bible says so. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do we notice this? Count all joy. We who obey the gospel according to the gospel, have been added to the Lord's church, we have an opportunity to be with Christ forever. You know, when I talk to people about the Bible and they just seem like they just don't believe it, when I'm finished, if they don't believe it, I normally say this: you will see. You don't believe in Jesus Christ? You will see. It's going to happen. How do I know? He proved it. He did it himself. And it's going to happen. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, listen, just listen to this, please. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Bible says that. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's true. So Christ resurrected, he ascended, he's sitting on the right hand of God. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, listen, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. This is Christ talking. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So right here, Christ is saying, he's implying that, wait a minute, if I am faithful, he was faithful until death. He was faithful. He resurrected and he exalted. He ascended to the Father. He's saying, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame. And listen to that. As I also, notice that word, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's why Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Notice what Paul said. Paul didn't float into heaven. Paul said what? I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. He kept the gospel. He stuck to the gospel. He was obedient to the gospel. He made a stand for the gospel. And he said, now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But notice the things that he did before he can say that. Now in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, was faithful to him who appointed him. He was faithful to God who appointed him. As Moses also was faithful in all his house. Verse 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, as a servant. So he was faithful in God's house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But listen, but Christ as a son over his own house. But notice this, whose house we are. Notice the if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. See that? Notice verse 4 and chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Notice verse 8. Verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. That's that resurrection. That's that exaltation. Because before I can resurrect, before I can make it to heaven, there must be a resurrection. That's it. But notice who he's talking to. He's talking to the saints who were willing to throw away everything because of persecution. He's talking to them. There's a rest for the people of God. Now, how will you be resurrected? Oh, everyone will resurrect it. Notice how the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. See, the Muslim who says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, Jehovah's Witness who say the things about Jesus Christ, all the false doctrine, what they say, those who say that there is no Son of God, there is no resurrection, the Bible says that they will confess. They shall bow and they will confess. Where are they getting the body from? But the difference is that they will spend eternity with the devil and his angels. And the faithful in Christ will spend eternity with him. All that sickness that you have when you... My wife said, told me, don't say old. When you become elderly, the pain, the arthritis that you have, the surgeries that you have, that's no more. And we're talking about, listen, when I say no more, that's eternity. You understand that? It will never end. If we suffer for our sins, it will never end. It's amazing when you think about the unscriptural marriages and the homosexuality and the idolatry, the covetousness, and all the things that's going on in the world. It's a temporary pleasure. Oh yeah, they will resurrect. But where will they go? I hope this evening that this lesson has given you an incentive to stay faithful. Because I will die. You will die. And where will you go? And that decision is up to us. Thank you.